Can I just show a principle? Is this okay? Yes. I hope I'm not being too familiar, and if I am, I apologize. But Alex, I don't want you to catch this, okay? That's the look of like, is he going to hit me with it? I don't want you to catch it, all right? I had something. I released something. It went right past him. Just stay right there. Stay with me for just a moment. Is this okay? Can we just be, it's a little different tonight. Is that all right? It's the encounter service. Amen. We can be a little more prophetic in the encounter service. Okay, now, you ready? Can you catch? Yes, you're supposed to catch it this time. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to release it. You're going to catch it. I had something. I threw something out. He now carries it. Oh, somebody's got to catch it tonight. You can sit down. Somebody's got to catch it tonight. When we release it, there's got to be a receiving. Amen. Otherwise, it falls to the ground null and void, and my youth leaders will catch it. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give me grace to release what it is that you want me to release tonight. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty and precious name, Father, that this would not come across in any way, shape, or form familiar toward any people. But Lord, you know my heart towards the people. You know my heart towards these precious people in this place tonight. And Father, I'm so tired of seeing the devil come against their household. I am so sick and tired of it. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would release a new level of grace for me tonight, Father, to minister this word, Lord. And I will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Can everyone agree with me and say amen? Amen. Amen. Can we go to Acts chapter 28? Can you put the New King James Version in, please, ma'am? If you don't mind. Acts chapter 20. I'll give her a second. Is that the New King James Version? Okay, I didn't. Okay. Amen. Amen and amen. Give her just a second. We're going to increase the heat in this place. The heat's got to go up. We can't stay where we were yesterday. We've got to continue to move forward. Because, see, a moving target is always difficult to hit. And if the devil's busy throwing fiery darts at you, if you're on the move, it's a lot harder to find you. All right, awesome. Thank you, ma'am. It says, now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Paul was busy running away, and they got into a shipwreck, and out of the shipwreck, they swam to shore, and this is where they ended up, in a place called Malta. And when they get onto the place there, it says, the natives showed us an unusual kindness. There was a little bit of favor that was taking place on them. Now, it says here, and I'm just, okay, it says that the island was cold and rainy. There was nothing going on. There was no spiritual movement in that place. It was cold. It was rainy. There's nothing happening. Amen. The spiritual atmosphere on this island was dead. But the natives showed the man of God favor and kindness. And the natives started a fire for them. Now, I understand it's going to start out a little slow. Everyone just take a big, deep breath. It's going to get a whole lot better in just a second. But when Paul, now everybody say, but. See, whenever you see the word but, it's about to cancel out everything that just took place. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Paul was in a cold place. It was wet. It was cold. There was zero spiritual movement in the atmosphere. Paul, being the great apostle, comes in this place and says, uh-uh, not today. I need a little more heat. Listen, the only time you ever add heat or you add sticks or you add kindling to a fire is if you are unsatisfied with the amount of heat coming out of thus fire. Listen, I'm an old country boy. I get this kind of stuff. If I got a bonfire and it's 52 degrees outside, and in Florida, we call that cold, right? And it's 52 degrees outside, and the fire's getting a little small, and it's just a little red coal, and there might be a little flame flickering here or there, and I'm like getting closer and closer and closer to the fire because I find myself getting cold. I take a few more sticks, and I add a little more kindling to the fire. I increase the heat because I was unsatisfied. Remember, I'm throwing a tissue box right now. Now, as we can see, there was a viper that was in the sticks. Again, I'm going to make a very simple principle. We live in Florida, and I believe every Floridian, especially now, understands what it's like to pick up sticks. We have this natural phenomenon called hurricanes, and this last year we had Irma, and I'm pretty sure all of us got very skilled in picking up sticks. I went to Okeechobee, and I cleared my mother-in-law's place. She's not here with us tonight. She went back after lunch. But she's got a big piece of property, I don't know, about 2 or 3 acres, and they had, I want to say, in total, like 16 oak trees fall over. I mean, big oak trees, like 5 million year old oak trees that are like bigger than this auditorium. I thank the Lord for bulldozers because we'd have never left there. But I understand what it's like to pick up a stick. What is this? Where are you going with? Don't worry. If you ever go in the woods and you begin to pick up sticks or you begin to pick up stuff and you ever encounter a snake, other than screaming and run away like a girl, which is what I do, 9 times out of 10, when you pick the stick up, the snake is exposed and runs. Yes? This particular viper only came out because of the heat. Somebody's catching it. Somebody's catching it. The viper not only came out and was exposed because the heat was increased, the viper also came out and fastened to his hand. Can I release something to you tonight? In our walk as Christians, oftentimes there are specific things that the devil has set in place to come against your life. Certain things that have aligned themselves and they're waiting like a viper in a bundle of sticks, waiting for the opportune time to come out and strike and to strike a deadly blow upon the body of Christ or a particular believer. This particular viper, if he would have been a Florida snake, I promise you, if I'd have picked up the stick, he'd have ran. This one waited. But something was about to take place because there was an exposing before its time. Is somebody catching this tonight? I'm firmly believing that there is a body of Christ that is being risen up here in Vero Beach that is going to take every devil from hell and expose it long before its time. Now, you say, but Pastor Mike, the viper bit him. Yes, indeed. See, if he can't get you when he wants, he'll still take a blow. He'll still take a strike if he can. Let's go to the next verse and see what happens. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Now, wait, hold up, time out. Wait. Weren't these the natives that just showed them great favor? Welcomed them in, built them a fire, and now they're turning on him? Sounds familiar? No doubt this man was a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But, everybody say but. He shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Can I tell you something tonight? Can I release something to you tonight? There's a body that is busy rising up, that is tired of the spiritual heat that is in their life right now, and they're coming before God saying, God, I want to increase the heat. I want to get closer than I've ever been closer before. I want to expose every demon that has ever been assigned to me, that has ever been assigned to my family, that has ever been assigned to my business, to my family, to my ministry. I'm gonna expose it. And when he strikes, turn to your neighbor and say, when he strikes, I'm gonna take that little demon and I'm gonna shake him off into the all-consuming fire and walk away unharmed and unscathed. Amen. I believe we can all infer that this was a deadly snake. Why? Why do we think it's a deadly snake? Let's go to the next scripture. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Silly natives. First they welcomed him, then they chastised him, now they idolized him. Funny how that happens. You big demon worshiper, you, now all of a sudden you're flowing in miracles and now you're an idol. Okay, we won't go there. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. That tells me that this was a deadly blow from a deadly venomous snake. They had full expectations that he was going to die. And when he did not die, they saw the supernatural take place and begin to idolize him. Now, why is that important? Because when the enemy strikes you a cruel blow, but you're in a place of increasing the heat, you're in a place, you're in such a flow with God, that when the enemy strikes you a blow that was supposed to take you out, and it doesn't, it forms such a testimony to even those who criticize you and tell you that you are no good and that you're just a lying, murderous slime ball or whatever it is that they are calling you. See, they fully expected him to die. And just as easy as it was, he just shook it off. Now, let's go to the next verse. So in that region, there was an estate of leading citizens, of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. So just a quick recap. Paul comes onto the island. It's really cold. Paul says, not today. He grabs a few more sticks. He increases the heat because he was uncomfortable with the surroundings that he was in. So he decided to make it a little bit hotter, which I would fully expect from the Apostle Paul, because everywhere he went, he brought the flame with him. Increased the heat. He had a deadly blow that was set aside specifically for him. Got a deadly blow, shook it off into the fire. A supernatural miracle took place. He was supposed to fall over dead, did not. The natives saw, witnessed a miracle, and now all of a sudden he's got the favor of influence. Somebody of influence over the island. Man, this is sounding familiar. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. But I thought that healing was only for Jesus and when Jesus was here. That says Paul went and prayed and Paul laid his hands on him and Paul healed him. Is everybody okay? So when this was done, and the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Please turn to your neighbor and tell them they were healed. The whole island. Now, what do I get out of this whole word? Because it's short tonight. Paul was taken to a place, not because he wanted to, but sheerly out of circumstance. He falls into an island sheerly out of circumstance and decides to increase the heat on the island. And can I tell you something? All hell broke loose on that island. And a healing revival took place on that island. If you read the very next scripture, it says that Paul was there for the next 3 months. Why is this so important? See, I get excited because, like, I can hear the light bulbs going off in several people. Pastor Alex came to Vero Beach with a vision and a mission to set this city on fire with a demonstration of power and fire. And I'm fully believing that tonight somebody caught a Kleenex box that was thrown at them. I fully believe tonight that we're going to be a people that are going to increase the heat in this place until we see a revival. And can I prophesy to you tonight that every single demon from hell that has aligned itself up to come against you, to take out your marriage, to take you out before your time, to take out your business before its time, to take out your kids, to take out your loved ones, to take out your business, to take out your ministry. Can I release to you tonight, whatever the devil has aligned in front of you to take you out before its said time, that viper that is lying in the sticks, that deadly blow, that deadly foul snake that is aligning itself saying, I'm ready and I'm waiting to take these people out. Can I tell you tonight, if and when he is successful, it will amount to nothing because of the fire that is inside of you. And I prophesy tonight that if a blow comes, it'll do nothing but stand as a testimony to every person that is around you. And they will stand and say, surely the hand of God is upon these people. Surely the fire of God is upon these people. There is no way they should have made it. That cancer should have taken them. The diabetes should have killed them. That lung cancer should have taken them. I speak to thyroid disease tonight. I speak to cancer tonight. I speak to divorce tonight. I speak to lust, perversion, and every possible thing that would take out God's covenant people before their time. And right now with unity, with my brothers and sisters, I cast it down in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Can we shout with a voice of triumph in this place? Hey! Amen. Is everybody ready to go home? Look, I'll keep going. We can close. One more? This is just off the cuff. I hope it's okay. Amen. I said something this morning. I threw something out this morning and nobody believed me, so I'm going to find it. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Daniel. Verse 10. I'm sorry, Christina, this is totally off the cuff. If you can keep up with me, that would be wonderful. Wonderful. It says, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there were certain Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these before the men, before the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's a little upset. They wouldn't do what they wanted to do. They wouldn't do what he wanted them to do. They refused to worship these false idols. They refused to come out of an uncompromising lifestyle. We get the Daniel fast from these precious young men in the Bible. They didn't want to live the way that the king set out. They didn't want to take and partake of the king's delicacies. And they said no. They stood up against it. And in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. In verse 19, you don't have to try to keep up with me, Christina. It's okay. Shame. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. In this story so far, it doesn't sound like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, other than not wanting to worship the gods that and the idols that he has set up, it doesn't sound like they're non-compliant. It sounds to me like that this is the picture I have in my head. King, I am refusing. I refuse. I refuse. I will not worship the idols that you have set up. But if you want to sacrifice us, if you want to kill us, can we all agree on that? I'm going to die. So my question is, why is it that Nebuchadnezzar set out certain mighty men of valor from his army? The strongest of the strongest. That tells me Nebuchadnezzar was already a little nervous that the God that they serve might actually pull something off with this. Because when God's people get a little bit of strength, just like Samson, when Samson got a little bit strong, when the anointing would come on to Samson, you better watch out because he's a wrecking ball to deal with. Is that okay? All right. Therefore, in verse 22, because of the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Oh, but it gets better. In verse 28, and this is my whole point for this whole section of Scripture. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, any nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces. Their houses shall be made into an ash heap because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I pray tonight that every enemy that would rage against your household, that every enemy that would rage against your finances, listen, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Not so that I can be blessed, because I want to see you blessed. Because I believe God's people should be blessed. I believe God's people should be prosperous. And I pray tonight that the enemy that rages against your finances would get to the place that they say, let me promote, not because of you, not because of me, but that because of what is inside of you. We got to increase the heat. We got to increase the heat. That even our enemies would bow before the Most High King. That even the people that come against you, listen, how awesome would it be? How awesome of a testimony when the very people that come against you the most fall before the King. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? And then we'll close out. Father, right now, in this place tonight, Father, as we have taught for the last 4 weeks, or the last four sessions, the last 2 weeks, on revival. And Father, we see yet another example of a healing revival that took place in the Word. Through the Apostle Paul and through his hands. Father, I pray that the people in this place, me included, Father, would come to such a realization of prayer, repentance, and unity. And Father, we would stop at nothing as a body until we see revival come and sweep across this city. Father, I pray that the heat would be increased. Lord, that in our prayer lives, Father, that we would be so close to you. We would be such a people that are so face to face with you, Father, that we would have such a real relationship with you. Lord, that you would saturate us in the oil, that you would saturate us in the anointing. And Father, everywhere we go, we would take ground for the kingdom. Father, I pray your blessings upon your people that tonight. Father, I pray that every single foul and stinking devil that would come against them and their families and their marriages, Father, would come to nothing tonight. Father, I pray that that viper that is laying in the sticks waiting to take them out, Father, would be cast into a burning fiery furnace, Father, and be brought to naught tonight in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, have your hand of favor, your hand of blessings over every single precious person. Lord, I pray that you would protect them this next week. And Father, that you would bring us all back together on Friday for the Good Friday service, full of fire and zeal and passion. Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.